This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Mahomes, step. And it's incomplete. Looking for Smith-Schuster, Mahomes took a hit.
Yes, he did. And we, of course, will be talking a lot about that ankle throughout the week. I feel like history is repeating itself again. How many times during this dynasty have we been talking about an ankle injury for Patrick Mahomes and what it means for a particular game? And, of course, part of the Super Bowl runs the last couple of years, not last year, but prior to that, the ankle has been a problem. Hope everybody's having a good Monday. We'll talk about that ankle and everything and what could play out this week in just a bit. But it is a Victory Monday in Kansas City. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you for the next 4 hours. You guys can always interact with us on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. Just a little housekeeping because it's a short week. Turnaround Saturday.
Short week.
Air quotes. No Andy Reid press conference today, so we'll not have guess what time Andy speaks. That will not be happening this
next week.
So,
well, probably not next week either because it'll be a shorter week.
It'll be a couple weeks, Cody. It'll be a couple weeks till we have that again. But we will not have that actually happening today during the show. But let's get right into it. And obviously, you heard Ian Eagle's call of it there, Mitch Holthus as well, right here on 96.5 The Fan. Patrick Mahomes on a 4th-and-3 play. Gets hurt. It looked worse than even just an ankle injury at first. I think everybody was holding their breath yet again. You were wondering, is it a knee? You know, a couple of offensive linemen were helping him get to the sideline. Then we find out as the game was progressing and Carson Wentz was warming up, it sounds like Mahomes would have gone back in the game if this was the playoffs or if it was 7-7 or a tie game or something like that. But they were up two touchdowns. Why would you put him back out there? They made the smart decision not to do that. And I know I heard Bob and Dusty talking this morning about kind of what they're hearing about the situation. And as you would expect, it seems like this is going to be kind of a game time decision scenario on Saturday when it's a noon kickoff and the Chiefs are hosting the Texans out at Arrowhead. And this will be something throughout the week on a Wednesday. Is he limited in practice? Is he not practice all week? You know, I think back to all the times where this ankle injury in the past and each
and it's
one
been plenty of times
and each one's a little different. I get it. But overall, there'll be some mic'd up segment we look back on a month and a half from now after the Chiefs are in New Orleans for the Super Bowl, Cody, and we'll have a behind-the-scenes look about the pain that Mahomes was in and how was it Julie, right? She's one of the trainers, how she worked
Hopefully
out the
she's
ankle.
Still with the team.
She is. She was already there. I think she was the one that was taping up the ankle on the sideline, as a matter of fact. So we've been through this thing before. Like I get the concern, no doubt. It's your starting quarterback, and we all know if this team is going to get to a Super Bowl, it's going to involve a Patrick Mahomes being near 100%, as close as possible to 100%. And he obviously is not that again. And there will be games when he does come back and play, whether it's Saturday or whether it's a couple weeks from now or the playoffs, where he gets rolled up on again. And we're going to see him limp ball. And be like, how the heck is he?
Is he
going to
be okay? And then he'll come back out for the next series and he'll limp around. But then when the Chiefs need him to get 17 yards on the ground for a first down, what will he do, Gold? He'll run for the 17 yards because this is kind of a tale as old as time. I'm not saying you shouldn't care about this injury and it's not something that has to be monitored, because the biggest part of this story is, does it end up costing them the number one seed? Something we can definitively talk about, because the Buffalo Bills have three games against two teams facing, top 10 picks in the upcoming NFL draft, and at least a top 5 pick probably in New England's case. And the Chiefs face a playoff team on Saturday, and then a playoff team on Wednesday, and then another playoff team the following, we think, Sunday. They have not released game times for that week because they're still waiting to see where the games are. So, like, we know that it's a problem. I will say that this, and we'll talk about the offensive line performance, this is kind of on Andy. I hope that people understand that they were up in a game, multiple scores, and they still had Patrick Mahomes going for it on a fourth down that was a less important fourth down than the one he just decided not to go for earlier in the game. Andy's decision-making on fourth down makes me nuts. Because he only goes for it sometimes, and it seems like it has no rhyme or reason. He just kind of feels like it. Like, oh, that sounds good to me. I think I'll just go for this one. And he leaves his quarterback in a bad position. His quarterback then gets his ankle rolled up on. And then we got to go through this treatment. Is he okay? Will this happen? Phase part of the injury again. It is kind of funny. This has become a consistent storyline in Super Bowl winning years. In the first one they won, it was Patrick Mahomes dislocates his knee. Will he be okay? How long will it take him to come back? Dealt with it the rest of the season, won the Super Bowl. 2 years ago, his ankle injury in the season, then it gets re-aggravated in the postseason run. Will he be okay? And he fights through it, plays through the pain, goes into the thing, and then says his ankle isn't right for the rest of the offseason. He will deal with this injury for the rest of the year. It probably won't be right. No, again,
there's no way it will be.
He's the Steph Curry of the NFL as it relates to his ankles. He is more susceptible to injuries of his ankles than any other body part he possesses. But to your logic, he also knows how to treat it, get back on the field for it, deal with it, play around it. These are not new information other than the offensive line is now worse with this ankle injury.
Well, and you know the defenses that you're potentially going to play the next couple of weeks, the pass rushers again, and ultimately in the playoffs, and you know how they navigate this, and everybody has their own opinion. We'll take your text too on how should they do this. Now, we don't know definitively what the realistic possibility is of him playing on Saturday. Again, the reporting is, you know, right now that, you know, game time decision, or I know Rappaport was out there saying week to week, which doesn't make any sense because they're playing Saturday and then Wednesday. So you can't even say week to week. I mean,
That's not even 2 weeks.
Yeah. Other than happening in the playoffs, this is the worst timing because of the stretch. If you were going to have an ankle injury like this for your quarterback, terrible timing, given that you're playing Saturday and you're playing on Wednesday and the opponents that you're also playing. I think there's a case to be made, depending on, you know, what we think the injury is for the ankle. There's a case to be made that this should be a Carson Wentz game on Saturday. And I know you're like, what are you talking about? This is the number one seed. And hey, they got to go 2-1 the rest of the way.
This is the Bills easier game. If they win this one, then you could take the Wednesday off.
Right. Yeah. I mean, there's a case on both ends. Personally, if he's not anywhere near like 100%, and I don't know how he will be, I would be fine with going Carson Wentz on Saturday. If you win the game, then you can go Carson Wentz against the Steelers as well, and then you have Mahomes play a half against the Denver Broncos. That's the ideal scenario, in my opinion. If you play Mahomes Saturday and you win, same thing applies. You could have him on Wednesday against the Steelers, potentially not play. I think it's way tougher though to play him Saturday and then not play him on Wednesday. Like, I don't know if the NFL, like, that's it's Netflix, all that. Then you get into weird territory with
that's
that.
That's not our problem.
I understand.
Like, no
I
offense
understand.
To them, but that's, you know, that is a decidedly not our issue, in my opinion. Like, sorry, Netflix, that you're going to have the Carson Wentz game, but we're not helping you out because our quarterback's not healthy. Here's the issue. It's like, I could legitimately hear the argument for either side.
Mm-hmm.
I think what I would do is I think I would play Patrick Mahomes on Saturday. And then if you win, you get to really rein it back in, right? You get to be like, well, he can either not play on Wednesday.
But do you understand how weird that would be? You play the game after the ankle injury, and then I guess the answer would be, well, he played Saturday, and the turnaround is too quick to get the ankle right
it's
for
still
Wednesday.
Not, it's still, you know, it's that's hurting. What you would say, you just right? say, like, you know, we thought the bounce back on it was harder than we thought, right?
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do? And you just play it that way. I understand, like, the logistic of it. You're like,
but there's also the other side. You play him on Saturday, Cody, you lose, the ankle gets even worse, and then you have Carson Wentz in must-win games against the Steelers on the road and against the Broncos, right? That's the tricky part. These are all questions they're going to have to figure out.
So do you just sit him and then he's got to go against TJ Watt? I got, you know, and
he
look,
just
Sunday,
hurt his ankle too.
He did. I mean, he
Sunday,
did.
Yeah,
they said he rolled. His seems a little more minor, but I don't know.
Sunday, Monday, Tuesday is what you're looking at, right? And so, and look, here's the truth. What's a more, both games are winnable with Carson Wentz. I'll be honest. I think they can beat the Steelers and they can beat the Texans with Carson Wentz. But the Steelers are better coached. They're a better team. And
sure.
So, like, they're a more difficult opponent in the scenario that is Patrick Mahomes can only play one of these two. The only thing I'm anti is, like, just barely play him at all. I'm not looking to take 2 months off before. Not that I think the rust
That's
is going to hurt.
That's where the Broncos game comes in. I think no matter what happens,
even that game if, matters if you rest, all of a sudden, I think.
If you rest him, and we'll get into the scenarios here in a little bit, but if you rest him on Saturday doing an injury, and then you win and you feel like the Steelers game doesn't matter, I think no matter what on the Broncos game, you would need to play him because I don't want a month plus off basically for Patrick Mahomes, especially with Hollywood Brown getting back in the mix. I want them to work out some of that timing. That's why it's clearly not ideal. Duh. Your starting quarterback has a serious ankle injury, serious enough to where I think his playing status is definitely in doubt for Saturday. I mean, the odds makers will tell you right now with the Chiefs being underdogs against the Texans, they believe Patrick Mahomes is not playing. The Chiefs are 2.5-point underdogs.
And they were a look-ahead line on 4 or 5. So, like, the line moved 6 to 7 points conservatively.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, they're telling you, Gold, to your point, they're telling you that Patrick Mahomes ain't playing. Now, they just watched him get hurt. They don't want to have they're trying to essentially stop the betting on Kansas City's end in case he does come in there and instead force you to bet the Texans side of it. But when you look at it, like, it's tough because tell me right now if you're the coach and Patrick Mahomes could play and he knows that he could get the one seed. Tell me how you tell him to be off the field. Because the truth is, if he can just grind through these two games, Gold, and they can win both while he's in pain and it hurts, he can take 3 weeks off. Not even kidding. If he just plays Saturday and Wednesday, he can then have 3 weeks off of work.
They'd actually have to run the ball for 40 times. Like, they would have to do it.
Maybe. And look, and if you're saying to yourself, they'd have no choice, they'd finally realize and run the ball. Boy, do I have bad news for you. Patrick Mahomes would somehow throw the ball 45 times in that game. I'm just preparing you all accordingly that if Patrick Mahomes throw the ball 40 times on Saturday, I told you so. Because I know you're like, how could that possibly be? A man on one ankle coming off an injury, a run defense that has struggled for the Texans. Tell me how you think. I'm warning everyone now. That if and when that happens, because they play on Christmas Day, then it's another 10 days before they play Gold. And then it would be another 2 weeks they would play after that.
If they got the one seed.
He can take 20 days. But that's why, that's kind of why I wanted to play on Saturday. I know it's crazy, but I think the risk might be worth the reward because the one seed does matter.
Yeah, and that's also the conversation I think everybody's having at with their buddies in last night through text. I know that was certainly a conversation I was having with people, was that balance. Like, the number one seed, you know the prize there, less games to get to Super Bowl in the bye week, versus are you risking the ankle injury getting way worse to where you have no chance to get the Super Bowl if Patrick Mahomes is not your quarterback. So that's the balance that the Chiefs are going to have to figure out. You know, I don't think it's an automatic, just punt on the number one seed. It's like, all right, well, just don't play Mahomes at all the rest of the regular season. I firmly disagree with that for a variety of reasons. I'm sure if you're a Buffalo Bills fan, you would love the Chiefs to rest Patrick Mahomes the rest of the season. I'm sure you would like that. I don't think the Chiefs will do that. But I think there's a strong argument that Saturday, here's what's tough. We're sitting here on Monday. None of us know. And hell, I bet you Patrick Mahomes woke up today and his ankle's probably feeling way worse today than it was at 7 o'clock last night.
Usually the day after is bad.
We don't know what it's like. Maybe on Thursday, all of a sudden he progresses better than everybody thinks and the game time decision becomes more likely that he's going to play, or it goes the opposite direction. We don't know. But as we sit today with what we kind of know, I would have zero problem if they said, all right, we're just going to go ahead and give you Saturday. You're going to rehab all week. It's a Carson Wentz game. We're going to give him tons of reps with the starters all week long. You're not going to practice anyway, Patrick, this week. We're going to get this ankle right, and then we'll reevaluate and see where you're at on Sunday. And maybe you'll play on Christmas Day. Maybe not. If not, get ready for the Broncos game. That's kind of where I'm at as things sit here, knowing what we know, which is honestly not a whole lot yet.
Here's the truth. If they don't play him Saturday, it's Carson Wentz on Saturday, and we'll find out more as the week goes on. If they don't play him Saturday and Carson Wentz starts and they beat the Texans, there is no chance in hell I'd play him on Wednesday.
Oh, I would agree.
If I already got the win in the bag on Saturday, you'd be like, you know what? If Mahomes got to come back 14 days from now to take on the Denver Broncos, then so be it. Because if the Bills don't lose one of their three games, which they're unlikely to because they're not facing good opponents, so be it. But if he doesn't play on Saturday and they win with Carson Wentz, I am not putting his ass on the field on Wednesday. No chance. He's taking that day off now. Because the extra, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday is not enough for me. Because if he's good enough to play on Saturday, if he was good enough to play on Wednesday, in my opinion, he should have been good enough to play on Saturday. And I know that's not how healing works. And 3 additional days is not nothing. But it's not enough time to make me think that there's some change in there.
Yeah, someone's confused on the text line. I said, if the Chiefs win on Saturday, doesn't clinch the number one seed, what do you say? No, but the Chiefs have to go 2-1. Okay, if the Bills went out, the Chiefs have to go 2-1. We're saying that the Texans game most likely on paper looks like an easier game to potentially win,
yeah,
and
so.
You don't have as short of a turnaround. So we're saying this would be the game that if you find a way to win against Houston on Saturday, you're more likely to beat a Broncos team who may be resting their starters in week 18 than you are a Pittsburgh team on a 3-day rest with an injured quarterback in Pittsburgh. That's all we're saying. Like, versus you lose to the Texans on Saturday, you probably have to win the next two because I don't believe the Bills are slipping up.
No, I don't think so either. It is really funny. There is a pretty decent chance, I feel like now, that week 18 matters for the Chiefs, but not for the Broncos. And you're like, but that doesn't make any sense. The Chiefs are going to finish five games clear of them in the division, but the Broncos seed might just be the seed. And they might just have time to rest their starters, kick their feet up and do this thing. And the Chiefs will still be fighting for the one seed, which based on injuries before we already agreed and age and number of games played before Mahomes got hurt, we thought was a big deal. Well, now it's worth twice as much. Here's the truth. Lions didn't do the Chiefs a favor last night. The Bills looked incredible. Josh Allen over his last three games has 14 touchdowns, no turnovers. He's averaging like 350 yards a game. He's been an unstoppable monster of a quarterback. They are somehow 2-1 in that three-game stretch I just gave you statistically because their defense has given up 40-plus two consecutive
86 points in back-to-back weeks. So Josh Allen's incredible, but we'll be interested to see if people acknowledge that their defense is a problem in Buffalo as well all of a sudden.
Well, I looked it up. In games against playoff teams, in which they've only played five this year, and that will be the final number, by the way, unless, I guess, Arizona sneaks in, but that would pretty much knock a different playoff team off their schedule, so it doesn't really matter. They'll place five playoff teams for the entirety of the season. That's it. And those games, they're allowing like 32 points a game. In the games against everybody else, they're allowing like 14. There is a 2-touchdown difference between Buffalo's Bills defense against a playoff team versus not against a playoff team. And so, yeah, their defense looks susceptible and did certainly against the Lions again, even though they ran out to that big lead against them. So like it was just garbage time, but so were their points. Like you can't mention the Josh Allen stats and not tell me that it's not the same. They were down like 4 touchdowns to a team, and then Josh Allen put up a bunch of numbers, and then Jared Goff was down 4 touchdowns to them. So either what Josh Allen did in that game offensively didn't matter, or what they did defensively does matter,
no,
right? Those things are related.
Yeah, I mean, it has nothing to do with Josh Allen. He's playing unbelievably well. He's going to win MVP. All that is true.
Playing the best quarterback, I think, although Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow are all playing, having
they
fantastic
are.
Statistics.
And the Bills right now are leading their division. The other two quarterbacks are not. In the MVP conversation that we're discussing, and Joe Burrow's not in the MVP conversation, let me be clear. Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen are the only two. Goff, to me, lost it yesterday as well. So really, it was Allen and Lamar. It should still be closer than what the public perception is, but Josh Allen's going to win that award. I'm just saying defensively, there are so many teams in the AFC in particular that are just flawed and how we view them. We've all addressed the Chiefs' flaws, and they still have them even after a 14-point win yesterday against Cleveland. But Buffalo's flaw clearly is their defense. You don't give up 42 and 44 points or whatever it was in back-to-back weeks and be like, oh, there's nothing to see here. They don't look unstoppable. I guess what I'm trying to say, they're not unstoppable, which is the way I think there was some discussion about them the last couple of weeks because of Josh Allen's play. You got to be able to score against Buffalo, but I think you can, right? Because we know that Josh Allen's going to put up points. Their defense is not what it was the last couple seasons when they've been able to lock down teams. It's not a top five defense. I don't know what the updated number is now after giving up 86 points in back-to-back weeks.
When's the last time the Chiefs gave up 40 points in a game? Remember, it hadn't been they given up 30 since the Eagles Super Bowl like 2 years ago until they finally gave up 30 against the Bills this year. So they're giving up 30 points like once in the last 2.5 seasons or whatever. So, I mean, I can't think of the last time they did that. Buffalo has fallen. Well, that's points per game on offense, which they're second. That's not surprising. The other part about this, I'll say, is like, and you're right. Like, you're absolutely right that they're not an unstoppable force. Josh Allen looks like the Terminator. Buffalo's fallen to the 12th best points per game defense. Kansas City, by the way, all the way up to 5th now on defensive points per game after their 3 straight weeks, which we can talk about in a minute. I'll be honest. I feel bad for Bills fans. And so our cohort over at KMBZ or anybody else who grew up a lifelong Bills fans, a tough existence, if you will, for a team that doesn't have a single Super Bowl title, even though they went to 4 straight. This is exactly how every season goes for the Bills. Josh Allen looks like the Terminator. Like he just looks like he's going to like run through you. They look great on offense. They win the East. They beat the Chiefs in the regular season. They beat a lot of good teams, and you're like, this is it. This is the Bills' year. Here we go. And then they lose to the Chiefs in the playoffs. Doesn't that story end the same way for them every year? Like, this, the Bills' season's going to end the way it always ends this year, which is they'll get to the playoffs and then they'll lose to the Chiefs. I mean,
that seems like that's a lot of Kansas City brain talking there is what that is. Like, I'm not saying that I'm guaranteeing the Bills the Super Bowl, but like, I think that statement right there is very much like just Chiefs fans like, oh, it's going to end the same way. Like, that's very much just like wishful thinking and like, you know, that's very fandom-y stuff right there. I think I'm not saying just you, like I've heard that a ton from people.
I feel pretty confident like, about it. That's
but like, and that's fine. Look, I have the Chiefs in the Super Bowl preseason. I'm not going to change that. But like this idea though, is that like Josh Allen, he's the MVP, but he's just going to suck in the playoffs. Like that's a very like fandom thing. That's
I
all
don't
I'm
think Josh Allen sucks in the playoffs. I think he loses to the Chiefs in the playoffs.
Yeah, maybe so.
Those are decidedly, in my opinion, different things. Josh Allen has actually not been a bad postseason performer at the quarterback position versus some other guys like Lamar Jackson and others who have certainly had struggles. And I'm guessing, without looking at it, I'm guessing this is the single best statistical season that Josh Allen has ever had at quarterback. I'm sure he's had some comparable seasons. And the one thing he's done this year versus other years is he has significantly reduced his turnover rate. Like, that is the one thing that is
I'm just pushing back on, look,
way
down. The Chiefs can beat them. It can be a really close game. Maybe the Bills win. Maybe they don't in an AFC title game or divisional round game. It's the Chiefs. I'm just saying, like, the statement on December 16th being like, I already know what happens. Josh Allen just won't be good enough to win, or the Bills won't be good enough to win. Like, I guess by that logic, let's just not even discuss anything else that's going to happen. I mean, in the postseason, I don't know.
It's a predictive thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm guess.
Telling you how the story ends, and the story typically ends or always ends for the Bills losing to the Chiefs in the postseason. Yeah. I was disappointed in the Lions. Come on, man. Got that onside kick.
They got off to such a bad start.
One little glimmer of hope. Yeah, they punted the ball right away, immediately gave up a touchdown, then went down 14. And then they were just like chasing their tail the rest of the time. Although, again, nobody's saying he can't be aggressive, Dan Campbell. Nobody's saying he can't be aggressive. You had gotten one tiny sliver of momentum. Man, the place was rocking. You had the building. There was 11 minutes to go. Your defense was finally getting a stop. You were only down 10. Onside kick time? Really, dude? Now, this is the moment. The other ones you had to do. Now you're trying to go for the
onside
kick?
He probably read the room, though. His defense couldn't stop a nosebleed. They had 38 points at the time, so I think that might have been it.
That was the case a couple Thursday nights ago when they were going against the Packers. They couldn't stop them, and it made sense. Look, onside kick has a low percentage of working anyway.
Yeah, it's like 8% or something.
But in that spot, you still had 12 minutes left in the football game. I don't get that whatsoever. That's way too early. Now, maybe under the proposed onside kick alternative thing in the future, if you have a chance to go 4th-and-20 there, I don't hate it. Not an actual onside kick. That was bizarre. Dan Campbell still he's going to do what he always does. I don't think suddenly because of that he's a terrible head coach. That's a crazy overreaction. I know you don't have that. I'm just saying, that's not what we're saying at all. But that's not the same as him going for 5 fourth downs. Him going for an onside kick with 12 minutes to go is not in the same ballpark of like, oh, he's just such an aggressive, hard-ass guy. No, that's just dumb. I'm sorry, that's just a dumb move.
It's a bad
move.
Decision. Yeah, I agree with you. It's just a straight up bad decision. You know, I did get into, and I guess you were mentioning like texting with your buddies earlier. I got into a little bit of a tiff with somebody because they did not agree with my sentiment that yesterday was a blowout against the Browns. And I said, but by what circumstance is it not? They beat a team by 14. They were up 3 touchdowns, 85% of the games. And the Browns never, and I mean never, had a chance to win that football game. Isn't that a blowout by NFL standards? I know you've said this before, but this ain't college football. Fine, a blowout in college football has got to be 30-plus, right? A blowout in college football is you beat them 45-10 or whatever, because that's the way the sport works. If you win by 14 and lead by 21 99% of the game, I think that's just kind of it. The game wasn't close.
No, yesterday was a blowout. Now, within that, and we're going to discuss it here in about seven minutes.
Oh, it should have been worse.
It should have been worse. You forced the amount of turnovers they did. The offense clearly had their struggles again. All of that we're going to get into. But what else do you want? We don't need to keep moving the goalposts, though, on now what we consider to be blowouts in the NFL. I don't know how many times we mentioned 80%, 79.3% of games in the NFL in 2024 are one-score games. When you win 21-7, even if we think it all should have been like 34-7, it's still a blowout. It doesn't ultimately matter anyway. You don't get style points, but we were asking them to win by a significant margin. They did. It was 21-7. Same issues we had going into the game exist. I don't disagree. Still offensive line concerns, all of that. Mahomes has an ankle injury now. You know, we still all disagree when Andy maybe decides to run the ball or not run the ball. Like, all that stuff is still out there. But they won 21-7. Yeah, that was a blowout win. They were never in danger of losing that football game.
I mean, I guess that's
they also finally covered for the first time in 8 weeks. Thank you very much.
Huzzah!
Finally, that streak's over.
Well, we both felt like that one was going to die.
Yeah.
You know, at some point, that one had to die. But it's just, I was like,
what? Someone says a blowout is offensive dominance. That was not dominance.
Look, so everybody wait, so can, a blowout everybody, only has to be on offense? You can score five defensive touchdowns and nobody thinks it's a blowout? Come on.
Everybody can have a different definition, I guess.
I think part of it was that
I just don't think that's how blowouts work. But
I think that it's a blowout because of the defense, obviously. I think it's because it felt like if the Browns had two less turnovers, the game could have been totally different. The fact that they had five turnovers and still only won by 14, I think that's what people are. It didn't seem like a blowout because the Browns kept on getting opportunity after opportunity after opportunity.
Opportunity what? Down two or three touchdowns in which they turned it over?
I know that, but yeah. But let's say they cut it to 21-14.
They didn't.
I know, but I'm. Let's say they cut it to 21-14 and they have four turnovers instead of five.
Yeah.
I still think you could call it a blowout at 21-14 or a dominant performance.
I don't
even though like, it was just a little bit different.
At least if it was 21-14, I'd let you come in here and make the argument, right? Like maybe it's like in the other games I pointed out in which the Browns would have never possessed the ball with a chance to get the lead or whatever. But at least they made it interesting. There were like one chance in the game where the Browns had scored, gotten the ball back because the Chiefs immediately gave the ball to the Browns back, and then they turned it over within like 35 seconds. I mean, it was a minute of game time. So, yeah, like, the game wasn't close. At no matter of fact, that game was, like, we joked before, but even you would admit, that game was boring, like, from a, like, a...
No, it was
that
a boring game.
That game was never interesting.
It was a terrible game. It was an awful game.
I know it ended up being this way because of Mahomes' injury. On Friday's show, we do our game predictions in the 1 o'clock hour every Friday, and we talk about, like, how we think the game's going to go or whatever. And I said, it'll be the most stress-free Chiefs game since week 5. Now, it ended up being stressful because Mahomes got hurt, so I'll give you that. It wasn't stress-free, but if you go and you look back, in week 7, they beat the Niners by 10. The last time they won by any margin like this was in week 5 against the Saints. I mean, it's exactly what happened. And we may have wanted it to be 35-7. It wasn't.
It would have been cool.
But it
could have been easily.
The way Jameis was playing and the way the Chiefs were forcing turnovers, the Browns were not capable of putting together solid drives that could end in points. And when that's the case, it's still a blowout. Whether it's 21-7, whether it's 28-7, 45-10, like, yes, we would have had a party if Mahomes threw five touchdowns instead. I get it, but that's not how the game script was going for this one.
Here's the other argument I made, which I thought was the death blow to this conversation. Did the backup quarterback come in for the opposing team? They switched. They switched quarterbacks. That's how you know you're getting your ass kicked.
Jameis did not get to finish the game. That is true. All right, up next, though, let's talk about this defense. While you might be concerned about the offense, I think we do have to give some credit with what the defense has done three straight weeks, and we'll talk about the plan moving forward at left tackle.
Cleveland, first and 10 at the Chiefs' 29-yard line. Kansas City showing zone. Again, no Chamari Connor out in the concussion protocol. Winston will throw, pressured from the right. Winston holding the ball, looking downfield, firing for the end zone. The pass is going to be intercepted. No, it's incomplete. Intercepted. Intercepted on the far side. Trent McDuffie gets his first National Football League interception. The all-pro first-team corner waits 3 years to get one.
Mitch Holthus on the call right here on 96.5 The Fan. We'll play some audio of Trent McDuffie talking in post-game.
Oh,
he explained
incredible. How
he basically saw the jumbo. That's how he knew Jameis had thrown the football. So how's that for your first interception? Obviously, long past due for Trent McDuffie, but he was part of a defense that had six turnovers, I guess five on defense, one on special teams, but six turnovers overall between special teams and defense. Remember, they had 10 takeaways. We talked a ton about this last week. They had 10 takeaways all year. They were tied for the third fewest in football. Crazy. And so naturally they get six takeaways in one game. I don't know where that ranks them now. It doesn't really matter. But that defensive performance, we'll get into the offensive line in a second. But it did kind of have everything. You got pressure on the quarterback. Karloftis got a couple of sacks in the game. There's one of the interceptions you heard from McDuffie. Nick Bolton had a crazy interception in the game as well. They really got everything you wanted to see from a defense against a bad football team. I think that isn't that what we were waiting to see? We Yes. wanted to see them defensively also dominant. Now, we didn't get the complete picture. The offense wasn't dominant. I hear you. But the reason why this was a blowout win, 21-7, is because of the defense. When you force that many turnovers, that kind of performance now puts three in a row where they're giving up under 20 points, in this case under 10, but 17 points, 17 points, and 7 points now in three straight weeks. All three of those games, Charles Minihue's been part of. Just want to say, I think that's
seems related.
That's been related to that. This defense needed a performance like this. If we're asking for any part of this team that's trending in a better direction off of this game, the defense has to be the answer to that. And I know you, a lot of you will sit there and continue to move the goalposts when you just don't like the answer. But, you know, you've got Aiden O'Connell, so you'll say it was him. And then you'll say, well, it's Justin Herbert. Now you'll say it's Jameis Winston. I don't know. If we're going to just discount anything they do anyway, then we might as well all just hit the fast forward button to the playoffs, which I'm good with that, too. I know we can't do that on this show, but, like, I will gladly do
They're
that.
13-1.
Like, we had somebody arguing that, well, the blowouts don't count because now it's week 16. It doesn't matter anymore. Like, what are we doing? Like, at some point, I'm going to go off of the play on the field. We all have acknowledged the offense is struggling, the O-line we're going to talk about. But I'm also going to acknowledge when there are positive things. And if you don't think yesterday was a positive for this defense moving forward, heading into the postseason, I just don't know what to tell you.
First off, kudos to Trent McDuffie for getting his first career interception. We had talked about on this show that it was becoming a problem, in my opinion, to be this good of a corner and not find a way to get the football. That's part of your job. As a corner, your job is not just to cover. Your job sometimes is to get a pick. Jaden Hicks, who we talked a lot about on Friday, it turns out, also got an interception. They had 5 sacks to go with it. This was the single best performance on defense all year. Might have been the single worst offensive performance, which we can talk about momentarily. But this was their single best performance. And I think it's directly related to Charles Minihue. Charles Minihue gave them the one extra piece of depth they needed in order to be a functioning defensive line. Does he alone save the defense? It doesn't work that way. But because they were missing one more competent NFL level, Pro Bowl caliber maybe, NFL pass rusher, the second you put that in there, what does it do? George Karloftis instantly, the second Charles Minihue looked back, started performing better. Why? Because teams weren't paying attention to him anymore, and instead were paying attention to Charles Minihue and Chris Jones. So once you got those three guys on the field together, weird, defensively, they got instantly better. But we also said going in, the thing that stood out to me is, like, every once in a while you go for a predictive thing because it's how the team should perform. And sometimes they don't, and they still get the win, and we give them credit for that. But you and I both on Friday said, honestly, I'd be downright mad or embarrassed or frustrated if this team can't find a way to take the ball away from this team, okay? If there's one team who's just giving it away, it is the Cleveland Browns right now. They're gift-wrapping turnovers for teams. And what do they do, Gold? They took it away 5 times. Well, 6 total, but 5 on defense. So they did what we asked. We said give the football, take the football away. They took the football away. The sacks are the most important thing. Turnovers, that's a luck stat. And not every way. Some teams are better at turnovers than others. But that's a variable stat. I don't think just because they got 5, 6 turnovers in this game, they're just going to start taking the ball away all the time.
Yeah,
the sacks are the thing that are meaningful.
Sure, it's like I'm not willing to discount 3 performances in a row like some others are. I mean, I understand.
Fourth best scoring defense in the NFL.
Look, I get it. The last 3 games, they have not faced Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson. Okay, I'm well aware that the quarterback quality has not been the best, but also, In a 17-game season, if you're asking me to just ignore anything that happened defensively in 3 of 17 games, that's a pretty good percentage of the season that you're asking me just to act like doesn't matter. To act like I can't take that into account, especially late in the year heading into the postseason. That's my only argument. Like, yeah, the reason why the game was only 21 points is because of the offense. We're talking about the defense right now, though. We're going to get to the offense again. We're talking about the defense. And I don't care who you're playing. If you're doing it for one game, you can call it an outlier. You can say, all right, it's BS. That's not who they are. For 3 straight games, this defense has shut, or for 2 of them, they've shut out an opponent in the first half. But 3 straight games, they've given up fewer than 20 points. And this one, fewer than 10. So, yeah, I think we have to factor that in the equation. If they go and give up only 17 to the Texans on Saturday, are we going to come in here on Monday morning and move the goalposts again and be like, well, no. It was a Saturday. It doesn't count. The game wasn't played on a Sunday, so it doesn't count. That's my annoyance, guys. That's all I'm saying. I feel like we acknowledge the issues with the team, but now we've gotten to the point when we've gone overboard where now we refuse to give any sort of positive view on what they might be trending positively towards. They're trending in a positive direction defensively, while offense is still in the same negative direction. I'm with you guys on that part.
They might have had one singular bad snap on defense the entire game. Like, yeah, sure, they gave up like a route here or there or a catch here or there. They had one bad snap, and that was when they gave up the big, long Jerome Ford touchdown run.
Yeah, that was bad.
That's it.
Yeah.
It's the only bad snap of the entire game. Outside of that, there was like, they even like overcame like mistakes. So like Joshua Williams got called for illegal contact, which I'll be honest, was a generous call for Cleveland on that play, which negated a sack. Later in that same drive, they just got a different sack and forced him to punt. So like it didn't, like everything they did defensively was completely uncomplimentary. And there was a time this year where I was like, is George Karloff just going to no-show this season? He's just not going to be around. He's not going to be an effective pass rusher. And now in the last four games, I feel like he's got five sacks. I don't know if it's quite that number, but it feels like we're bitching his name every week. Are we not? So like, I think it's hard to look at that game and you cannot tell me that the defense is not playing significantly better. Like, I don't know. What are we looking at? The worst game they had all year was against Buffalo, in which they did struggle. But you and I pointed this out last week. And
that is still the only time this year, right? They've given up 30 points?
Yes. Okay. The only other time they gave up close to that was 27 one other time, or two other times or something. I don't know. Every other team's given up 30 more than that, I guarantee. I don't even have to look it up, and I could probably tell you that. But like the way I view the defense is like the same thing we mentioned last week. There are times in which I'm like, are you playing good football? And then I look up at the scoreboard and they've given up 14. So like the results are the results. Like at this point, I don't think you can really negate the fact that this is it. Like you have to look at what they've done and accept it as gospel at this point, because it has been an entire season. Like I said, they're up to fourth. George Karlaftis is up to 7 sacks, which means he'll be an 8 or 9 sack guy. He is who he is. But Aminihue made him better. Aminihue made it better. You didn't even notice the secondary issues yesterday. How many different guys got an interception? Bolton was linebacker. How many guys in the secondary? McDuffie?
Hicks?
Connor? No, it was Cook.
Connor got knocked out. He didn't know where the hell
Connor
he was at.
Man, that's tough. I hate seeing that. Like, your legs aren't even working?
He did not know where he was at.
Yeah, that's tough.
He's probably not playing Saturday.
You think? I don't know how you could clear concussion protocol
that fast.
Yeah, it's
a short week anyway. That also just looked about a lot worse than some others as well.
Yeah, I'm with you, Gold. I kind of refuse to. And coming up in 15 minutes, we will talk about the offense. I'm not here to like sugarcoat.
But we're gonna talk about it now because I want to talk about the O line, man. Like I want to talk about the offensive line because that's a tale of two halves, wasn't it?
Yeah. If you asked me the first half, I'd have been like, problem solved.
I think in the first half, everybody was ready to say, "Wow, maybe Joe Tooney's the solution. Here we go, let's go." And then the second half, I think we all went back to reality and realized, no, this offensive line, this tackle thing is still a problem. And ultimately, it got your quarterback hurt with the ankle injury that has us talking all week long about his availability for a game against the Texans. I think the decision to move Joe Tooney to left tackle was, once again, like the last, you know, the emergency type of thing they had to do. They could not allow Wanya Morris to go back out. After how he performed this season, they decided that against Myles Garrett, that would have been a disaster. And in the first half, they looked really good, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
But then you back up for the entire game, and they gave up more pressures in that game than they had in years. You're like, oh, that can't. No, in years, I can find the exact numbers in front of me in a second. That was not the improvement you were looking for just by moving Joe Tooney. The Chiefs had given up 54%. Pressures in the game. Yeah, so, he's pressured 54% of the time, according to ESPN stats. Highest pressure rate Mahomes faced in a game since 2020. So pressure-wise, I know the sack numbers weren't big. I don't know if they even got a sack at all, actually. The Browns did. But pressure-wise, it was the worst he's had since 2020. So it's not this like, oh, man, I'm good to go now. I still am in a spot where if DJ Humphries ever gets healthy, I would like him to get one more opportunity, and then we can make our decision going to the playoffs. Hey, should they move Tooney there permanently in the postseason or not? I did not see enough yesterday to be like definitively they got their thing figured out. Mike Caliendo can play left guard the rest of the way, and Tooney can play left tackle. I want Humphreys, if he's even available Saturday, one more opportunity. Let me see what he can do. Because we know they're better at left guard with Joe Tooney than they are with Mike Caliendo as well.
Although I'll say probably the most positive sign I would say out of the offensive line is that Mike Caliendo held up fine. Like Mike Caliendo was actually the number one Pro Football Focus rated pass blocker in the game for the Chiefs. So like he actually did the job. And I told you going into the game that the Cleveland Browns were the number one pressure rate team in the league.
Yep.
They bore that out. They're the number one pressure rate team in the league. The Chiefs offensive line has struggled. That's how that was going to go. They were going to give up pressure for about, I'll say I fell into the trap too. For about the first like quarter and a half, two quarters, I'm like, where was this my whole life? What the hell took so long? Why didn't you get Tooney there sooner? This is crazy. He's obviously the best left tackle they've gotten. And I actually think that that's still probably true. But come on, man. We can't. Like, either way, this is no way to live. The point is that the way in order to have the offensive line actually have a chance at being fixed, not just you win in spite of it, if that makes sense, is to get Humphreys back out there.
But I don't know if that's the solution either. I'm just saying I want to see it one more time. I don't know if DJ Humphreys is actually going to provide them better play than Joe Tooney can at left tackle. We've seen 3.5 quarters of DJ Humphreys. There was some good, there was some bad. We just saw a full game of Joe Tooney. There was obviously some really good in the first half. In the second half, I don't know if it was all on him, but it certainly wasn't good. And you're asking him to play out of position. So yeah. In fairness to Joe Tooney, who's sensational to even be able to play left tackle as well as left guard. But I want one more opportunity to see Humphreys. And then I think the Chiefs can make their ultimate decision on come playoff time, what gives them the best chance? Nobody's saying it's going to fix everything, but what gives them the best chance, or who I should say gives them the best chance? I don't think we have that answer yet until we see Humphreys for one more game. But is he available Saturday against the Texans? He didn't practice last week.
I still think there's a pretty good chance that I think Humphreys is the best choice. He is a qualified NFL left tackle who's played at a Pro Bowl level. Did it start slow for him? Yeah. He's coming off an 11.5-month break. The only reason why he might not be the best choice for this year's team in the postseason is that 11.5-month break, and now he's not available. Like, he's obviously, if both sides were created equal and they were both available to play, Humphreys is the answer. Cool. No question, no doubt. No decision in my mind.
Miles Garrett gets a lot of credit for this, but they couldn't run to the left side of the line. And that, to me, is the fact that Joe Tooney was playing on the outside and not on the inside.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And Mike Caliendo, you mentioned during off-air to me, like, he graded out very well. If you want to go
out
by,
okay on the run
if you want to go out with PFF and stuff, I don't believe they could run on the left side in large part because of the switch. So
I think that might have also been not the Caliendo switch. I think it's hard for Tooney to block the left side of the line the way a left tackle would block the left side of the line. And you can't be, that's the problem. You can't just be this one-dimensional nightmare in which teams know you're only going to run to the right because the left side doesn't work the way it used to. Humphreys is the answer for me. I thought they held up mediocre. Like, I didn't think it was the, you know, like, they gave up a high
first half percentage. I thought it was great. Second half was bad.
Yeah, it was. No movement. That's why I still don't understand why Andy was still like, what the hell were you doing, Andy? Well,
and that's the play-calling aspect of, like, you know, playing to your personnel a little bit. And when they had a lead twice, a 2-touchdown lead twice in the third, fourth quarter, whatever it was, and they had two straight 3-and-outs.
Yeah.
And they didn't run the ball once.
No.
Made no sense.
That didn't make any
sense. And then we played, obviously, the 4th-and-3 call, which led to an ankle injury for Patrick Mahomes. So we'll see, much like the Mahomes ankle, where things progress maybe for DJ Humphreys this week as well. I see a couple people on the text line, as we've seen for a couple weeks, texting and bringing Donovan Smith. Where's Donovan Smith? Guys, that they made their decision. I was all about bringing Donovan Smith like 3 or 4 weeks ago. It's week 16, about to be week 16, right, of the NFL season. That decision they already made. They chose DJ Humphreys, and you can agree or disagree with maybe if they picked the right guy or not. We'll find out. But like, they already told us that they chose DJ Humphreys for a variety of reasons, clearly, that they thought he was the better option than Donovan Smith. They're not going to bring in Donovan. Like, it's we talk about how long it would take to get DJ Humphreys up to speed. You're out of time now. Like, what you have is what you have. Whoever's in-house is who you're going to have. Like, they brought in Steven Nelson last week to the practice squad. Maybe at some point Steven Nelson is playing corner for this team. But it's going to take some time for him to get ramped up. Maybe he plays against his old team on Saturday. That could happen. Like, Texans. That'd be kind of cool. But otherwise, who's in-house is who's going to play games for this team.
Like, I understand this desire to, like, keep looking for, but I mean, they've tried. Okay. I mean, like, there's no argument. Like, it might not work out, but you can't tell me at this point that they haven't tried to find a solution.
They've exhausted just about every option.
Dude, I mean, they're at the end. Unless they're going to be like, you know what, maybe Driscoll can do it every day. And there's probably a reason why he has 17 people behind. They went to the guard before they went to him.
They've had four different left tackles start games this year. If that's not exhausting all options, I don't know what is. Kingsley, then Wanye, and back to him, and back to him, and then Tooney, DJ Humphreys. Like, they've had four different tackles start a football game.
I'll say this. They should be thanking God that they have had no other injuries on the line, and that at least they're only trying to solve that. Tooney and Creed.
Drew's marking this audio.
Smith,
good Lord, dude.
And Juwan Taylor, thankfully, have been healthy this year, and they haven't at least had to try to solve two offensive line problems. They're just trying to solve the one.
Cody.
Over and over again.
Stop,
I can't.
Stop while you're ahead.
It's not. I'm
text
not
line
a
is already all over you on this one. It's not going to be good. That's not good, man.
You got to be more careful about how you phrase it.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean? So how am I supposed to say it?
So far, they've been very healthy. Let's hope it continues. You know, that's what I was.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't even seem that softer.
That's a that's much softer because guess what? They still have 3 weeks to play.
By the way, Steven Nelson played for the Steelers too, didn't he? So either of his next two will be his former team.
Okay. There you go. But Texans as well, right? Yeah. That was where he went directly after had some success, actually.
Yeah, but he played a year or two for the Steelers.
So there you go. So Steven Nelson revenge tour if they need. Look, Jamari Connors, as we just said, is clearly in concussion protocol. So there's a real chance that Steven Nelson actually needs to be up for the game.
We're about to get a lot more Jaden Hicks.
Mm-hmm. People want you to do an offensive line song. About
to
left
fix
tackles.
Left tackle?
About left tackles.
Sorry, I'm racking my brain for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Verdict is, it's doable.
Give me some suggestions, but I'm open to it. You know? I haven't done a Chiefs song. They haven't really needed any help in that department. Let's just be honest. The Chiefs as a unit, as a team, over the last couple of years, haven't really needed me chiming in with a lot of songs to increase their success rate.
So what does success look like? If the song actually works, does that mean they don't give up sack the whole week?
I think DJ Humphreys starts playing again and you're like, oh my God, they gave it the lowest pressure rate of the season. The song, I don't know. For the song to work, you just don't notice the offensive line for a game, right?
Like, sure.
Let's be honest. That would be an improvement, would it not? If you just like, if we came in here on a Monday and the offensive line was either not a topic.
Here's a good suggestion.
Or a
My Chemical Romance, Save Yourself, I'll Hold Them Back. Can you come up with something? Or I haven't heard that song in a long, long time. But the title's good. I don't know if the lyrics match or if the beat would be good for you. But the title's great. Save Yourself, I'll Hold Them Back. It's a good left tackle song.
You don't want to do a different My Chemical Romance, and I can just do the teenager song where you just do the offensive lines. Scares the out of me.
Someone else says Baby Got Back. Okay.
They could block less. I don't know. Yeah, a lot of those are choices. I'm open. Toss your suggestions, 913-586-7965. I'm tired of the offensive line talk just like everyone else, but it's just.
But it's the number one concern. It's been the number one concern for a while, but it's absolutely that.
Of course it is. I will say, same thing. Haven't really had to talk about the other four spots. It is just one. And I'm not saying the other four spots are playing perfectly because I don't think you give up 54% pressure rate and just one dude's getting
again. I do think Trey Smith's playing his best football of his NFL career.
Do you see that I think they got highlighted on one of the accounts that does breakdown. Do you see that one block against Myles Garrett? Stood up solo against Myles Garrett on a third down. I mean, face to face, stood him up. Like, I don't know very many guards who can, like,
I know Trey Smith's
stand
a free agent.
Up Myles Garrett for a half a second.
I know he's a free agent at the end of the year. We'll see what that ends up being for him. But I think he's playing his best football. I mean, good timing for Trey. He's going to get paid by somebody. Where that's at, I don't know. Maybe it's here. But he's going to get a huge contract, and he deserves every penny he's about to get. He's been sensational as his team's right guard. All right, coming up next here, we'll talk about what was perhaps one of the all-time performances, not in a good way, from the offense this game. And some positive news on who could join that offense, though. That's next on Cody and Gold.